Kids, I'm gonna need your help with this one. I wonder what makes a really good batch of mac and cheese, in your opinion. Yeah. All right, David. Not too much cheese, but still some cheese. Good. Okay, did you have your hand up here? Wow, you got some opinions. That's great. Flour, cheese, butter, and milk in the sauce. I love that. All right, hold on. Let me come to you last, Isaiah. Over here. Mac and cheese and ice cream. Doesn't matter what the mac is like, just give me the ice cream with it. I love it. All right, last one. Isaiah.
Sushi.
Okay, forget the mac and cheese, just give me sushi. You may be surprised to know, kids, adults have a lot of feelings and opinions about mac and cheese, too. There are a lot of feelings about mac and cheese. And even amongst you guys, you got some opinions. I wonder, would you still call it mac and cheese if all of a sudden we use these little spirally noodle things instead of the little elbows? Yes, okay, all right. What about if we use the long, like spaghetti style pasta? No, yes, some around there. Adults and kids alike, what if we started using vegan cheese? No, no, okay, hard opinions there. Chickpea pasta. Okay, all right. Okay, we got a crunchy group here. There are a lot of opinions about what makes mac and cheese not only good, but what makes it mac and cheese. And I heard one person say mac and cheese needs eggs, multiple cheeses, and an oven. Debate me. It's hot debate going on. We have all kinds of different thoughts on this thing. I would say distilled at its core, mac and cheese must involve macaroni and cheese, and some warming method to bake it, although we are near Asheville. They might just grate it together. I don't know. Today, we're still in Christmastide, and we need to do similar work to understand what is Christmas at its most distilled, at its heart. What is Christmas? In Mosul, Iraq, they were not allowed to celebrate Christmas for the longest time, even though this was a majority Christian town. And what this means is that once Iraqi fighters finally overthrew ISIS, they were allowed to celebrate Christmas again in 2017. This first celebration of Christmas was a protest, almost, right? They gathered around the one bombed out church, St. Paul's Cathedral, and all had been ransacked. They gathered around joyfully, decorated it. And, you know, they had priests in white and gold robes leading them in prayer and worship and song for the first time. It was hot. It's not our experience of Christmas around here, is it? Is anything lost in that experience? There are a lot of experiences of Christmas around the world. I like to think of cold weather, which was spurned this year, cinnamon buns, right? A fireplace. But those are like adding goat cheese to mac and cheese. It's like, it's not important. You don't need it. And without it, actually, you still fully have what you need. What is the core of Christmas? What is it really about? In its most distilled form, I would say Christmas is really all about God with us. But what does that mean? What does God with us actually mean? Whatever it means, actually getting this right means everything to our faith. Deacon, you got an answer for me. It means Emmanuel. Thank you. God with us is the translation of Emmanuel. I bet if I asked around the room, what do you think it means that God is with us? A majority of answers would involve something like, well, he understands me. He was a human. He knows what it means to walk around on the earth, have all the problems, have all the good. This is absolutely true. But I think on a more fundamental level, God with us, understanding what it means to be human, actually has to do with the fact that he made us. So this is the first of two ideas we're going to camp on. God made us. So this is what we see in our gospel reading. I'm not going to read the whole thing again. Chris, thank you. That was a long one. But listen to this line. The light that was there in creation shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. In this word who is in creation, Jesus, in him was life, and that life was the light of mankind. Jesus created mankind. He knows how we work best. The rest of this reading actually says not a single thing was made without Jesus. He was involved in every stitch of our world, every stitch of who you are. He knows how this whole thing works. He gets us because he made us. And he knows how we're supposed to work. We are a big board game family in our home. We got a new one. We got a couple of new ones, I think, over Christmas. And one of my favorite parts is the beginning of having a new board game. My boys and I have been getting to know a new board game just today. I am a rule book reader. When we get a new board game, I want to tear open the rule book. And, you know, my boys want to just dive right in, and I slow us down. Well, let's make sure we're doing everything right. What's going on here? Because I love the joyful discovering of a well-balanced game, which makes playing accessible, fair, interesting. Inevitably, we come up with a lot of house rules, don't we, guys? We make additions to the game somehow. They're kind of fun. They're ours. They're our own thing. But we're kind of adding to it. We're saying, well, this game needs a little something here. Now, how many of you, when you land on Go in Monopoly, collect $400, not $200? All right. Okay, a few. That's a fun rule. Not in the rule book. All right, that's a house rule. Once you start to stack too many of these house rules together, then we lose the internal beauty and balance of the game itself. Our world has so many house rules these days that we can't recognize the game that we're playing anymore. We need reminding that God gets us because this world doesn't seem to anymore. We've put these house rules in place oftentimes to benefit ourselves, and they wind up hurting other people. We've lost the rule book a long time ago, maybe a few of the pieces and players in the way. And we can't really remember the core of how to play this game. Though Jesus, involved in every stitch of it, calls it good. This world, us, he calls good. But we are broken. And so God had to come and be with us. God is with us, not to destroy the game or the players, but to recreate it, to bring back the original delight and maybe a deluxe edition. Maybe he's bringing back all the pieces that we lost. Maybe he's putting it in a nice wooden box like our Monopoly game where the rules are written on the box itself, so that we will not forget it. Discovering again how this world, this game, I don't want to trivialize it, but discovering how this world is meant to work is delightful and fun and beautiful because it is good. Verse 5 again, the light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. Kids, I don't know if you know this, but we adults at times can feel like the darkness or the confusion or not knowing the rules or whatever it might be is winning. Maybe you feel that at times too. Things are just hard or things hurt. Christmas means that pain and that sadness and the tears, the self-centered gameplay, Christmas promises that that does not overtake the light and the good and the beauty of this world. Christmas means, yes, Jesus gets us because he made us, and he knows how we work, and he's remaking us. Two, he is with us. So there's a big fancy theological word here. Christmas is oftentimes referred to as the Feast of the Incarnation. Same root word there that we get when we use the phrase chili con carne, chili with meat. Jesus put on the meat. Literally, incarnation, enfleshed. Right? But he didn't just put on the meat, right? He's a human not just in physicality, in spirituality, in psychology, in emotions. He took it all on. And he lived it perfectly. He played the game perfectly. He knows the logic of this world. In the process of being Christmas con carne, he did not lose any of his godness. I don't know if you know, but these two candles that we have here every Sunday on the altar represent God as being fully human, Jesus being fully human, and Jesus being fully God. Neither one of these is diminished for the sake of the other. So we're reminded all the time of this incarnation in our worship together. We may have lost the rules in how to play this game, and this game may be really broken. Lots of duct tape. But the incarnation, God with us, is almost like the creator of the game himself or herself comes and sits down at the table with us and plays around with us. Maybe we don't have the rule book anymore, but whenever we come up to a question, not only does the creator know the best way to go forward, he can tell you why. Anytime we have a house rule that we want to put in there, he knows if that would actually support the logic of what's going on in the game, or if that would take away from it, make things unfair. He knows how we tend to hurt each other. He can tell you how he would imagine that this game might evolve in the hands of those who are playing it. It's interesting, if you read a lot of the early church fathers, so kids, these are folks who followed Jesus really close to the time that Jesus was alive. If you followed the early church fathers, then so many of them, a majority of them, assumed that Jesus coming, God coming to live with us, was always the plan. God was always going to come and live with us, play at the table with us. But sin complicated that some. But this was always the plan. I do want to read you one quote from one of these early church fathers who says something really interesting about how God is remaking things. He says, "The renewal of creation has been wrought by the self-same Word, Jesus, who made it in the beginning. There is thus no inconsistency between creation and salvation, or creation and recreation." What Jesus is doing now is utterly consistent with what he created in the first place. Which is why Jesus, the Word, became flesh, incarnated, and he dwelled with us. He lived with us. It's so important to get this right. Because we as the church don't tend to treat this very well, to our harm. We either overplay recognizing God with us in particular because we assume, oh, God is with me when I feel this thing. Or God is with me when I have this exact kind of experience. And we almost exclude God being with us any other time. And we overplay our hand in that way. Or we underplay our hand. We say, God with us, that's a nice idea, but really, he's not with me. He was with us, and he taught us some good things that we're supposed to follow now. Functionally, he's not present. But both of those really just rip the guts out of our faith. Because the person that created the game is sitting at the table with us. He's showing us how to play it together. Of course, because the church gets this wrong, it turns into this generally fuzzy idea in the world around us. Let's keep Jesus in the manger. He feels safer there. Forget about Easter or Pentecost or Christ the King Sunday. Let's keep him as a nice newborn baby. If God does exist, I'm happy with him right there. Not with us, really. Imagine you were sitting at the table with the God who created the game that we're all playing. What would he tell us? How would he encourage us to play better? How would he help us discover the inner beauty and logic of who you are and your place in this world? That's his heart. That's his longing to help us find that place. The question is, will we listen to him? He has made his home with us here in this world. Will we make our home with him? This is the calling we hear later in the same gospel. John says, abide in me. Make your home in me. This is waking up groggy in the mornings and seeing Jesus still sitting at the table, eager and waiting to help us know how to play. This means looking for him, especially in our most difficult and challenging moments. Now, kids, this world that Jesus created, this game, so to speak, it's an expression of Jesus himself. So part of what we included in your packets today is a few sheets that ask you questions about what kind of board game you would like to make. What would be fun for you to play? What would it look like? How would it help you to enjoy other people? I would love to see any of those that you fill out and to hear you tell me about your game, because I want to know more about you and what your world would look like. For all of us, let's be listening for the God who is with us, who has incarnated himself. He is here. And he is never absent from us. And the best way that we can possibly get closer to him is to spend time in these gospel stories that tell us about who he is. So I commend that to you as a Christmas practice especially. Pick up a gospel. Read it again. Whether it's familiar or not, get close to Jesus there and ask him, why this rule? Or why did you do this? How does this fit with the logic of the game that you've created? Let me pray for us. Jesus, thank you that you are here and that you are good and that you are strong and that you love us. Help us to listen for your voice. We pray this in your holy and precious name. Amen.